Blog Talk Radio.
Things are made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and I am the spokesman for the King of Glory. And it's good to be here on another session of Truth Ministry. So we thank God that we're here. We'd like to welcome all of our Blog Talk friends, all of our Facebook friends and followers, all of our Twitter followers, and our LinkedIn connections, friends, and followers. We welcome you to Truth Ministry. And we still have the same question we want you to think upon as we look into the perfect law of liberty, and that is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? We want you to know, as we know, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And so this is, like I've said, Apostle Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, the Ephesian church. They were already saved. They were already saints of God. They were already baptized, Holy Ghost-filled, baptized believers. They had already been down in water in the name of Jesus, and they've already received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so he's just writing to the church at Ephesus, which actually one of the churches that he started. So we are going, still continuing in with our theme, the churches at Galatia, part three, and then we'll finish up on the day. We've been through the book of Galatians. This will be our third week, I believe. So also our theme, the Godhead, which is our ongoing theme, God who is the head of all things. And so there is only one God. There is only one image. There is only one body. So, and Christ is the head of the church, which is his body. So you got more than one head, you're a freak. And the Lord is certainly not a freak. He can never be what he is not. When he gets done being what he wants to be, goes back to being what he always was, what he never ceased to be. He's always God. He can't be confined. Just because he came into the world that he made himself a body, he didn't stop being God. He's everywhere, here, now, there. God can leave you, come to you, hasn't gone anywhere. So we thank God for that. He's an omnipresent spirit. He's everywhere and every place. He's omniscient, which means he's all-knowing, and he's omnipotent, which means he has all power. So thank God for that. So like we said on before, we kind of gave a little background, on the church at Galatia a week before last. It was probably written A.D. 60 during Paul's third visit to Corinth. The occasion of the epistle is evident that come to Paul's knowledge that the fickle Galatians, who were not Greeks but Gauls, a stream from the torrent of barbarians which poured into Greece in the 3rd century before Christ, had become the prey of legalizers, the Judaizing missionaries from Palestine. So the theme of the book of Galatians is vindication of the gospel of the grace of God from any admixture of law conditions which qualify or destroy its character by it destroys its character of pure grace. The Galatian era had two forms, both of which were refuted. The first is the teaching that obedience to the law is mingled with faith as ground of sinner's justification. The second, that the justified believer is made perfect by keeping the law. Paul meets the first form of the era by demonstration that justification is through the Abrahamic covenant, and that the law, which is 430 years after the confirmation of the covenant and true promise of which was condemnation, not justification, cannot disannul a salvation which rests upon the earlier covenant. Paul meets the second and more subtle by vindicating the office of the Holy Spirit as sanctifier. So this book is in four parts: the salutation, the theme, Paul's gospel as a revelation, justification by faith without law, the rule of the believer's life is gracious, not legal, and then sanctification through the Spirit, not the law, exhortations, and conclusion. So we have went through, and then so it's so important when we started off, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, God the Father, who raised him from the dead, unto all the brethren which are with me, unto the churches of Galatia. So, grace be unto you and peace from God the Father, comma, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the selfsame one, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So he goes on here. He's starting off, we're just doing a little little rehearsal of what we've been over in the last couple of weeks. It says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we preached unto you, let him be a curse. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. So it's so important, like I've tried to make it known, that you have to pay very close attention to repetition. So is any other gospel than what the apostles preached is cursed. This began at Jerusalem. They were the ones who the Lord Jesus Christ chose. That was one of the signs of being an apostle. The Lord chose them They were taught personally by him. They were eyewitnesses. They wrote the new. They laid the foundation. They wrote the New Testament scriptures, and they also died horrible deaths. And so then they saw him. They walked with him personally, and then they also were witnesses after his resurrection. They ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead, all with the exception of the Apostle Paul, but he still saw him because the Lord showed himself to him. This is his testimony in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians when he was saying he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part has fallen asleep, which means they died in Christ. And he goes on to say, and last of all, he was seen of me as one born out of due season. This is Apostle Paul, because he was the apostle to the Gentiles. So he was the last New Testament apostle. And so that argument, which I always say there are no apostles today, people will probably get angry at that statement. So should you desire to call in, our call-in number is 646-716-6566. That is 646-716-6566. Should you desire to call in, you have a question, you have a comment, you are certainly welcome. So we kind of given a little background of what we have went over, and this will be our last, our third week, and we'll finish up on the churches at Galatia, these six chapters out of Galatians. He had to set them in order. So 14 years later, he went up to again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with him. He went up by revelation and communicated unto them the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, that because of false brethren, unaware, he was compelled to be circumcised, that because of false brethren, unaware, as brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seemed to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it make it no matter to me. God accepted no man's person, for they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. Contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. So the uncircumcision is the Gentiles, the circumcision is the Jews. He that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. That's the uncircumcision. When James, Cephas, that's Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived that the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come in, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision, that's the Jews, and the other Jews disassembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? So he goes on here, if I build again the things which I once destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. And he goes on, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. So he goes on into the next chapter, asking them a question. Who hath bewitched them that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by any hearing of faith? So he goes on here, even as Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Knowing ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham and God, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. And he goes on, for as many as are the works of many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in the things which are written in the book of the law to do them, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. So that's, I made mention, that actual quote first came out of the book of Habakkuk 2 and 4, I believe it is. And a literal clause says, the just shall live by his faith. So he goes on here, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of man, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Not Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said, not as the seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. This I say, that the covenant which was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of non-effect. For if the inheritance of the law be of the law, is more no more promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. And so we also hear there's so many promises. And so in the book of Hebrews it says, God which quickeneth the dead and calleth those things that be not as though they were. That's in the book of Galatians. But also in the book of Hebrews, when it talks about God and the immutability of God, in the sixth chapter of Hebrews, and so he goes on in the book of Hebrews, talking about saying, surely, blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. He's actually talking about Abraham. Let's see, I want to go up a little bit. Hebrews 6 and 10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. We desire that every one of you do show the same diligence of full assurance of hope unto the end. And to have a hope, you have a promise. You can't have hope without a promise. That's why in the book of Romans he says, we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. Why doth a man hope for that which he see not? What a man hope, you know, seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. We go on here, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. There it is right there. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. That means he swore alone. This is talking about God now, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. So after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Talking about Abraham. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of our strife, wherein God willingly, more abundantly, to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. That means immutable. That means he can't change. So that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that which is within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us, entered even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So he's saying here, God can't lie. He makes a promise. He's going to bring it to pass. I've used the illustration before. He's immutable. He can't lie. If he told you something, he's going to bring it to pass. Like we've made mention before, if God said he was going to give you $1 million, he's not waiting on somebody else to get paid. He's going to bring that to pass. We can say, well, I'll pay this and pay that when I get paid. But God already has made the way of whatever he says. He declared the end from the beginning. Remember the former things of old. I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and of ancient times. Things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all of my pleasure. So this is what God does. He's going to bring to pass whatever he has said. So we go on here. We're talking in the fifth chapter of Galatians now. As we move on, he's talking about standing fast in the liberty. This is what we were at on last week, wherewith Christ has made you free, and be not again entangled with the yoke of bondage. So he says, I say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of none effect, no effect unto you. Whomsoever you are justified by law, you are fallen from grace. We through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. So he goes on, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? The question. This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven, leaven the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you be none other wise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross cease. I would the day were cut off which trouble you. For brethren, you have been called under liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. All the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consume one of another. So I made mention on last week about that. The devil is an instigator. He can instigate something and then leave and let you bite and devour one another and consume one another, because that's his job. He is as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Like I said, he's an instigator also. So if he devour you, he's a thief, you know. Jesus says that the thief cometh for nothing but to steal, to kill, and destroy. And I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So he goes on here, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. In another place, Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Corinth in his second letter. He was saying, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. So he's talking about your behavior when he's saying walk in the flesh. And you won't fulfill, walk in the Spirit, I'm sorry. If you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust after the flesh. So in other words, we're not glorified. It's just, so that's the point being, if we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. So he says, the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit,
ye are not under the law. Then he goes on to, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I have tell you before, as I also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with their affections and lusts. If we live in the flesh, in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. So this brings us to where we want to be at today, in the sixth chapter of the book of Galatians. So he says, brethren, so he's talking to, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So in other words, you can't just, sometimes people say, well, I knew it, I knew this, that, and the other. Well, if you saw somebody on the wrong course, you that's why you should have fellowship with people. And if you have a relationship with people, you can talk to people, communicate with people on a regular basis, then you could admonish somebody that they're on the wrong track. And that will vindicate your love for them, that you're not scolding them, wait till something happens and beat somebody down. I mean, it's like they say, only time you should be looking down on a man is when you're giving him a hand to pick him up. So you have love for somebody. You're seeing somebody going down the wrong road, you should try to help them so they won't hurt themselves, like we do with little children. So this is many times in the scriptures, we are considered as we're children of God. He even said, children, you know, how I travail with you until Christ be formed in you. So we are as children. I mean, John really writes about that. Little children, I write unto you that ye sin not. So he says children. So we're children of God. But if any man sin, he hath an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also, John goes on to say, for the sins of the whole world. But anyway, going on here, so he says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If any man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. So in other words, and then also in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, the 13th verse, he talks about what happened back in the law, under the law of Moses, and how they were tempted in the wilderness. Then he goes on, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, he says, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. But the scripture that before that, what I wanted to use, he says, let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. So this is the same thing here. So you think yourself to be something when he is nothing, you deceive his own self. You deceive your own self. You think you're something when you're nothing. In other words, our strength comes from the Lord, the grace of God. God has given us grace. So that's not a license to sin, but we have the grace of God to that's what's appeared unto all men, teaching us. So what does the grace of God do? The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. So this is in Titus 2 and beginning verse 11, that quote that I just made mention of. So he says, every man shall bear is that let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Every man shall prove shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate it unto him that teacheth in all things. So that's there saying, just like in your local church, you don't just disappear for a week or two. You're going to do something. You're going to be out of town or whatever. You can let someone know. They don't have to be. They don't have to be question marks around you. Where's so and so at? So we have to be subject one to another. So you just let someone know. I'm going to be gone, out of town. I got to work, or I'm going to be on vacation or whatever. So you communicate. So we and so that I've always taught that. Even to my own sons when they were growing up, somebody needs to know where you are. Even me as an adult, I don't care who you are, someone needs to know where you are. And why is that? Because you, not just here, just for nobody has to wonder about you and all of that and have question marks around you, but you can get accused of something. You, someone knows where you are. Are because you are communicating. You're letting people know so they can say, oh, no, that wasn't him or that wasn't her because they said where they were going. And so nowadays, even you, we have mobile phones, we can track ourselves to where we are going. Should we end up being falsely accused? So he says, let him that's taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. So be not deceived. God is not, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. So just do a little sidebar there. The man who wrote this letter to the Galatian churches, Apostle Paul, he very well knew what he was talking about because he persecuted the church of God and wasted it. They had let him in over the wall in a basket out of there so he could escape because they didn't believe that he which persecuted them in time past now preacheth the faith. They didn't believe that at first. So he writes to his son Timothy. So he was saying what he was in time past. How he was things that he did to hurt the church. Let's see, I want to get the exact quote. I believe it's in 2 Timothy, no, in 1 Timothy. Anyway, he goes on, he gives his saying that what he'd done. Oh, yeah, it's in 1 Timothy, the first chapter. So he's talking about here this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, for men slayers, for them that defile themselves with mankind. Talking about the law now, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. That word doctrine means teaching. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. So here's what I was going to get to. Who he's talking about himself. He's giving his testimony. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord Jesus, of our Lord, was exceeding abundantly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. So he goes on here, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all exception, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering, for a pattern to them which should have hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Remember I said, there's one head, one Godhead, one God in the Godhead, the three places in the scriptures that the word Godhead is in, the book of Acts, book of Romans, and the book of Colossians. So he says, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou mightest by them mightest war good warfare. So he's talking about spiritual warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some have put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. So he's giving his testimony right here. He was an apostle. He had to set everything in order. So the point that I was making, he knows. He, when he said, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Everywhere he went, he was persecuted. Why? Because that's what he did to the church. So he had to live with that the rest of his life, because that is a universal law, reaping and sowing. So he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So there is a time for everything. And so this is what the writer says in Ecclesiastes. Talks about there's a time for everything under the sun. And so this is what, even as children of God, we have times about things. And so people, they go on to talking about your season and all that. Yeah, you do have seasons. That's not why the Lord gave his life. He gave his life for a ransom to save us. He was made a curse. He redeemed us from the curse of the law, what we have read in the book of Galatians over the last few weeks. He didn't die for us to heap up material blessings, what people say. I mean, he'll bless you, he'll bless you. What people, what they mean by when they say blessings, he'll bless you, they mean material things. No. You want the blessing, the favor of God on your life. You can get whatever you want. You got the money to get. I mean, yeah, there's times he will open doors and give you favor of things that you don't deserve, but that's not why we serve him. That's not why he came, but he came to seek and to save that which is lost. Now, that's why you have to, scripture will support scripture. So they read in the book, in the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense, and cause them to understand the reading. Nehemiah 8 and 8. So you got to give the sense of the word and cause them to understand the reading. So you can't just cram any kind of scripture together with another one. So here, there's a time. To everything, there is a season, and the time to every purpose under the heaven. So that is definitely true. Time to be born and time to die, time to plant, time to pluck up that which is planted, time to kill, time to heal, time to break down, time to build up, time to weep, time to laugh, time to mourn, time to dance, time to cast away stones, time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, time to get, a time to lose, time to keep, a time to cast away, time to rend, a time to sow, time to keep silence, a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, a time of peace. So there are times, a lot of different times for things. So, but we will, in due season, we will reap. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. That scripture I read, I believe, in Hebrews 6 and 10. But he is a faithful God, and he sees all, and he knows all. So he's not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. So that's the type of God that we are serving. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. He's eternal. He always was and always will be. He was all alone. So that's why he made the world that he made, and he made man in his own image, and he made man and helped meet the angelic beings and all. He made them first. So anyway, we go on here. So he says, in due season we'll reap if we faint not. And he says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So you see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. He's talking about the Jews. See, even now, the temple, that welling water, they go well to Titus. They tore down the temple back in those days, and I'm told that's the only wall that they left, and that's why they go and wail at that wall. So, and they read Christ, and so Christ, their heart in 2 Corinthians says, when it shall turn unto the Lord, then shall it be taken away. The veil is done away in Christ. So they blind. Their heart, their mind is blind because they won't turn their heart to Christ. So he goes on here, he's saying, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the whole world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. So that's what's important. See, and too many times people make comments saying that they, glad, which everyone have their own testimony, that they came up in whatever family they came up in, they were a second or third generation gospel preacher, and good. That's all good and well, but he came into the world to save sinners. So he's still adding on to the church daily. Such should be saved. So he didn't just die for them. Somebody that's first generation, second, third generation preacher and all, but he died for the sins of the whole world. And he's yet saving people. So God is opening doors for people to believe the gospel. That is what we have to do. That is our job, to preach the gospel. We can't just, oh, you know what I believe, you know I'm apostolic, and God opens the door for you to preach the gospel. Apostle Paul and them got ran out of town because they declared the whole counsel of God. That is what we have to do. We can't just assume you have a door of utterance and opportunity to tell somebody about the name of Jesus. Everybody don't know it. And I mean, that's the devil's delight, to let, a bunch of jellyback bishops and preachers, that you're not going to do it. No, you can't. Jesus said, I didn't come to
destroy the law, but to fulfill it. He said, I didn't come to destroy the law, but I came to fulfill it. I didn't come to call the righteous, that's what I'm getting at, but sinners to repentance, because the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they tried to catch him in his words, saying, you eating with those that are sinners. You eating, you know, with wine bibblers and publicans and all. And that's when he was letting them know. He said, they that are whole need not a physician, but they who are sick. And that's why he was saying, he went on to let them know, I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So you have to have your sins washed away. And the only way you can do that is by immersion, being baptized, immersed in water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. That's the only thing that's going to remit your sins is the name of Jesus, not the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, which they changed the baptism in 320 A.D. when Constantine had that revelation. That's how the Catholic Church started and all these other churches branched off. Everyone used to be apostolic. That was the first church. Judaism, they turned from that. And he tore down the middle wall of partition, made the way of, you know, once and for all, for everybody could come in to the New Testament church. So that's why it was the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. We have access, both Jew and Gentile. Same Lord is rich unto all that call upon him, so it doesn't matter. There's no difference between the Jew or the Greek. And like Peter said, that God is no respecter of persons. When he poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost on Cornelius and his household in the 10th chapter of Acts, but he said, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. So it doesn't matter what somebody called themselves, but you have to be born again. And the revelation of that was given to the apostles. So it's in the name, water baptism in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance or to utter on the day of Pentecost. Acts 2 and 4, and that's the fulfillment of Joel 2 and 28. It shall come to pass, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. So that means you, it doesn't matter about the color of your skin or your nationality, but God has people all over the world. So they are speaking another language that is not their native tongue. Someone in the earth will understand what they are saying. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. They say, we do hear them in our own language wherein we were born. And they went on to say, we hear them speak the wonderful works of God. I made mention before, we have an apostolic Russian family that we fellowship with once a year. They come over here. They say sometimes when people receive the Holy Ghost over in Russia, they speak in English. So I'd say I'd like to see that. I'd like to hear that. I'd like to be a witness to that. But I don't want to go to Russia. So that's God is working all over the world. And he hasn't changed. So we have to keep that in mind. So he's going on here. Like he said, as many as walk according to this rule, peace on them and the mercy and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. He goes on here, brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, your spirit. Amen. Or so be it. So this man, Paul, the apostle, he went through a whole lot. Like I said, the persecution and all that he endured was he bought on himself, because you persecuting others, you're going to reap what you sow. But that was okay, because he knew the Lord already had let him know how great things he had to suffer for his sake. And in other places says
you suffered for his name's sake. So it's on the behalf of Christ, not only us to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. That's in the book of Philippians. So that's why you have to rightly divide the word of truth. And so you have to search the scriptures, like Jesus says, with them, and them you think ye have eternal life. And he goes on to say, and they, talking about the scriptures, are they which testify of me. So, that's what I just made mention of. So he's in the book of Philippians here, 1:21, he says, For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I live in the flesh, and this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose, I would not. So in other words, he went through a whole lot. He knew if he could just go be with Christ, that's far better. He knew that he had a crown. That's what he told Timothy. That he has he said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. There's laid out for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day. And he goes on to say, not for me only, but for them also, which love his appearance. But my point I'm making here in Philippians, he was saying, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. So in other words, if he could just go to sleep in Christ, he wouldn't have to endure no more persecution or none of that. And it's far better. But he said, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh, it is more needful for you. So in other words, you Philippians, you Galatians, all of these churches, he was an apostle to the Gentiles. He had to set these churches in order. So he's having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for the furtherance and joy of faith. So he goes on here, that your rejoicing might be more abundant in Christ Jesus for me by coming to you again. Only let your conversation, or that's your lifestyle, be as becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. See, that's what's important. And then nothing terrified by your adversaries. So in other words, I don't want you to be afraid of them, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. So in other words, that's why they persecute you. That's why they hate you. That's why the devil, the enemy who is the devil, is on your trail, because you're in the right church now, as we sing a song. So he knows you're saved. So I don't say, yeah, God knows I'm saved. I said, hell knows I'm saved. See, that's what the problem comes in at. The devil is not messing with you if he got you. But if he don't have you, I mean, if when he doesn't have you anymore, he's angry about it. So this is what I wanted to get right to right here. Unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. So right here, he's not even talking about for his name's sake, but we have to suffer for his sake. And so you got to have understanding. This is what the proverbial writer says. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And he goes on to say, and in all that getting, get understanding. So when you can understand why something is going on and all, then it makes it that much better. So that's why Peter says, be sober, be vigilant. So he's talking about, he's talking about being sober, not drunk and all of that, because the Bible admonishes us not to drink. It says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Give strong drink to him that is ready to perish, wine to those that be of heavy hearts. This is all in the book of Proverbs. So in other words, that's the results of what's going to happen if you do this. So the wise thing to do is not to. So that's why we believe in total abstinence from alcohol
alcoholic beverages. But it also, he is talking about having a sober mind, because some people are drunk on things. So be not drunk with wine and wherein is excess in the book of Ephesians, but be filled with the Spirit. So then Peter says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, so he's no match with God, for God. He's your adversary, Peter says. He's as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resists steadfast in the faith. So in other words, you know how that is. You devour something. Hogs, you ever seen a hog eat? They devour it. They eat like nobody else is going to get any of what they eat. And then like a lion, they will tear you in pieces. They will devour you. So this is what the enemy does. That's, he's seeking whom he may devour, which he wants, which really means he wants to destroy you. Like they say, the thief comes for nothing but to steal, to kill, and destroy. So steal your joy, kill your body, destroy your soul in hell, as someone said. So either way, he is the thief, and that is what he wants to do. So you have the new life in Christ. We have liberty, as I've said on before. So we have liberty. So we're not using our liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but we're free to serve. We're free to pray. We're free to give. We're free to show the love of God, reach out to someone else. And that's what this even is all about, this Truth Ministry on Blog Talk Radio. If by any means, Apostle Paul said, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. So in other words, even he said himself, if by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And that's why he said, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. In other words, we want to be examples. We want to help others. We don't want to see no one destroyed, because it's no joke. God means what he says, and he says what he means. And no one in their right mind want to go to a devil's hell. So we'll be back to you on next time. And we hope that you have enjoyed this session of the Churches of Galatia. And we want you to, we still had the question that we want you to think upon, and that is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Thanks for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.